Okay, Sarah, I have something before we begin.
Okay.
I have an issue.
Oh, no.
So in the Italian world, as I think you would agree, there are debates, right? Like favorite pasta. Do you like sausage better than meatballs? Sure. Godfather 1 versus 2.
2, right.
And I believe that it all comes down to there are two types of Italians. The kind that believe Dean Martin sings Mambo Italiano the best. And those who believe that Rosemary Clooney sings Mambo Italiano, the best. Now, you are of the...
Rosemary Clooney all the way.
I am too. But I think what's wonderful about this debate is that I don't think I hate the people that like Dean Martin. I like the Dean Martin version.
I love Dean Martin.
I think that both versions are acceptable. And I think it's one of those things we can all just go, we can live in harmony.
Sure.
My son, who is 6, has recently become obsessed with the song Mambo Italiano. He asks it to play on repeat.
Oh.
But he
good
has fallen in love with the Bette Midler version.
Oh my God. I didn't even know that existed.
It's on her album that is dedicated to Rosemary Clooney. That being said, it has it sounds nothing like. It sounds like a dance version of Mambo Italiano, but not a good one.
To do the mambo like crazy, and hey, mambo.
Welcome to the Sibling Sit Down, where brother and sister talk about the beloved New Jersey Mafia hit TV show, The Sopranos. I'm Sarah Stefanelli.
And I'm Joseph Stefanelli. We're going to be taking you through The Sopranos one episode at a time, one podcast episode at a time.
We will be discussing season 3, episode 9, The Telltale Mozzadella.
Mozzadella.
Mozzadella. That's what I said.
Mozzadella.
Mozzadella.
You're saying mozzarella.
I'm literally not, though. I'm saying mozzadella.
Really?
It's supposed to sound like that. Why do you think they say it like that?
Mozzadel.
What do you say?
Mozzadel.
I say mozzadel.
All right.
It's like a soft D. And that's why it sounds like an R, kind of. It's like, are you saying it right? Are you saying
it's a soft D?
It's like back here. Like mozzadel. Okay. Episode summary.
Is there anything you need to tell me? Asks Carmela after receiving a gorgeous sapphire ring from Tony as a birthday present. Of course, Tony does not tell her about his fascination with Mercedes dealer Gloria Trillo. Similarly, Gloria lies to Melfi when she inquires about the male voice she heard on the phone when Gloria canceled her last appointment. Meanwhile, Jackie and Meadow are getting closer and closer, but it doesn't seem to be bothering Tony and Carmela too much, as perhaps Jackie Jr. could be a good influence on AJ, who was recently caught vandalizing the school swimming pool.
How do you vandalize a pool?
Outside of the Soprano house, Christopher purchases a club for Adriana, beginning the next chapter in Adriana's career and character arc. This episode aired on April 22nd, 2001, and was written by Christopher himself, Michael Imperioli.
Love it. All right, Joseph, do you like this episode?
I love this episode.
I really enjoy this episode as well. There was a lot going on this episode. Into it. I'm very into it. What was your favorite scene of this amazing episode?
Am I allowed to say it's more of a sequence than it is a scene? The zoo sequence. Them at the zoo is incredible stuff.
Them walking around the zoo, them in the snake thing.
Oh, I mean, the lead-in of the symbolism of the snake, and she's Eve tempting him, and, you know, snakes can the ridiculousness of what snakes are cannot do, and how she literally does what Pauly says the snakes can do and not do. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's just everything about
it. And in that scene that you're talking about, Tony says, I think you're talking about Eve.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's trying to explain it too much to us. It's letting us figure it out, but it's just guiding us there so beautifully. And the visual of the snake, the giant yellow snake behind them, it's amazing. Not to mention the poor you, and we get this little glimpse of his fear of her, and he starts to see the real picture, and it's so good. It's so good.
So I have a theory here. So she says poor you, so you obviously think of Livia, right? You kind of. But she has many parallels to Janice as well.
Yeah.
And even he points them out. And like, you just notice these things that she has parallels. And even the poor you is kind of Janice.
Well, I mean, if Janice is the replacement of Livia.
True.
Yep. It all kind of makes sense. I think what we discover as this series goes on and on is that Tony has an attraction to toxic women. And his mother was just the main reason.
Yeah.
You know, like he should write off Janice. Just write her off. She's useless, but he can't. And no. It's more than just a sibling love or a sibling dedication or obligation. It's he needs her. He needs her in his life.
Do you think Carmela is toxic?
No, but that's because he. Well, okay. Yes. But in a very different way.
Go on.
I think that he's more aware of her toxicity?
Toxicity.
I'm an English teacher. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Yep.
And I think he is more aware than she is of her issues.
Okay.
And it's very different. I don't know. He'll call her out on her shit more than he will other people.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
That's why he married her. That makes her the reason that she's a wife for him and not a guma.
Okay, but or he can call her out because she's his wife.
Well, now you're just doing chicken or the egg.
I know.
Or who was the first snake to fuck himself? You know, is really the question.
That is the question on the table. So you say zoo sequence.
I will throw out, and I was shocked that I didn't, because before I watched the episode, I said I know what my scene is, and it was not the zoo sequence, but it was the final scene. I love Carmela and Tony being domestic. I love when there's no issue. I love when they're just sitting there, but there's this underlying tension, whether it's because they know something that the other one doesn't, or we know something they don't, or we just know, hey, we're on episode 9. There's only four left. Some shit's going on. And I just love them sitting there, not to mention. And then the beautiful final little nail in the coffin of the telltale heart.
Oh, yeah.
Of him hearing the sound. And, you know, of course, it's above because he's the one buried alive. So he hears the noise above. Unlike in the story, the guy hears the story down. Yeah.
And I think maybe should we explain what Telltale Heart is really quick?
Sure. If you'd like to, you go ahead. You know the story a lot better than I do.
It's 6 pages long. It's not much to know. There is a guy in an old house, and he lives with an old man who has a blind eye and has a very, very blue eye. And every night he goes into his room very silently to try to kill him. But he takes a month or something to do it. And finally, when he opens the door one night, he's waiting for his eye to be open because he was obsessed with this eye and wanted to get it out of his life. And as soon as the old man was awake and scared, he murdered him and chopped him up and put him in the floorboards. And then when the police came, they looked around, didn't see anything, and everything was fine. And they stayed for a drink. And the man goes crazy because he can hear the heart in the floorboards. And he goes, it's fine, fine. It's me. And he rips up the floorboards and shows the cops. And he goes to jail. Though the cops did not hear, obviously, the beating heart in the floor.
So no one needs to read it because you just spoiled Poe's story for everybody.
To get what you were just saying, though, you need to understand what we're talking about. And what and kind of the Edgar Allan Poe seems to be a theme here in this whole episode. A motif. So my favorite scene is Polly watching the snakes.
That's why somebody you don't trust, you call a snake. How can you trust a guy who can literally go fuck themselves? Don't you think that expression would come from the Adam and Eve story? When the snake tempted Eve to bite the apple? Hey, snakes were fucking themselves long before Adam and Eve showed up to you.
Okay.
Well, okay, but the whole time they're in that room, right? So Polly watching the snakes, you know, he says they have both male and female sex organs. I think he's mixing up eels.
I actually think that was a thing.
Go off into the abyss and no one knows how a certain eel actually mates and creates life.
I have no idea about any of that with the eels in the ship. Okay. The only eels I know are the ones that help the queen or the Wicked Witch in Little Mermaid. Those are the only eels I know.
The sea witch.
Sure. What?
Oh my God. Poor unfortunate souls. Do you think she says a good poor you probably?
Oh, yeah. I think Livy is based on Ursula. Dude, I believe it was once a belief that snakes could do that. I think really? It's just a myth that's been debunked.
Are we being stupid and snakes like Polly was right? And
no, we're like, Polly's no, not right.
That's ridiculous. Not right. Okay. So that happens. And then it goes right into, well, and then Tony corrects him and says, you know, I think you're thinking of like maybe it's Eve something. But then Jackie walks in and Tony does the talk with him. And I think that's really my favorite part of this whole scene. Tony's very scary for a second, right? He goes, Jackie, it's, you know, it's different now. And then Tony saying Edgar Allan Poe did all the Vince Price shit as if Poe wrote the movies for Vince Price to be in
Vincent
them.
Vincent Price.
He says Vince Price.
Does he?
I think so.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. You know, so Jackie's not going to be involved. He needs to listen to Tony. Like, he really should listen to him. And it's just kind of that moment where you're like, man, come on, Jackie. You got to listen to him. You got to listen to him. And then obviously he does not.
It's also a great parenting moment for Tony, especially compared to Carmela, who kind of fails at the alt. Because remember, they said, I'll talk to her. You talk to him. Tony has a good talk with Jackie.
Yeah, he does.
Carmela, she does it in front of Tony and does not have a good talk with Matt. It does not go well. So good job, Tony. Father of the year right there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Favorite quote?
I had a bunch, but it all comes down to the admittingly long.
Take your kids to the Bronx, though?
Yeah.
Now we're here.
See you later.
Who was that?
Oh, that was my heart on.
Aww. Between the Buddhism and talk about the family, poor you.
That sequence of lines is amazing. Even the, I'm waving goodbye and that's my heart on. Her laughter is a mix of, he made a funny joke. But it's also Livia in the sense of his misery of doing of losing his erection. She finds funny.
Like, oh, it's unbelievable. It's an evil laugh. It's an evil laugh. Any other ones that you want honorable mentions?
Yeah, I think Janice saying.
No champagne. The good Lord doesn't want us to drink alcohol.
Didn't Jesus drink wine?
He was Jesus, Tom. We can't make comparisons.
With cocaine on her nose is great.
She has cocaine on her nose?
That's why Tony goes like this. Like he rubs his nose. He's telling her, you missed.
No way.
Yeah, she has powder on her nose. She was in the bathroom doing coke.
No, what? Since when?
I'm not even like, I don't know
no,
if
no,
I'm
no.
right. I'm 100%
I totally,
right.
No, I hear you. I did not notice that. But since when does Janice do coke at family events with her Jesus boyfriend?
Well, there's something new every day with Janice, but we're going to see her do coke again.
Okay.
It's a cannoli, her doing coke at the Soprano home.
That's fun. That's super fun. So I have a few favorite quotes as per usual. I'm going to end with my winner, though. Are you ready? I'm going to go through this.
The nominees are.
You'd rather her be looking at pictures of soup cans than being close to home. My pizza never hurt nobody. Now you tell me their names. I go put a foot up their ass. And the winner. Drum roll.
Your thoughts have a kind of Eastern flavor to them.
Well, I lived in Jersey my whole life.
That is gold. That is gold.
But it's like, duh, Melfie.
Duh.
Like,
I've lived in Jersey my whole life.
And she just kind of goes with it. You're right, Tone. You're right.
How do you explain what she just says? I mean, the Eastern side of the world.
Yeah, she kind of just passes by it. Like, she doesn't.
She just is like, you moron. Right. You moron. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Theme?
Well, before we go to theme, I do want to say, so my pizza never hurt nobody. that quote. I really like that scene. And I think it's worth noting they basically steal Dragnet.
That's a custom job.
How's that, sir?
Double meatball, pepperoni, sausage, peppers, onions, extra mozzarella.
This pie fit a pattern?
Come again, officer?
Any customers order this combo on a regular basis?
Only one I know.
Who's that?
And so it's Chase is kind of bringing back that in the first episode of the season, we talked about how he took the whole episode and made it a procedural. He took this one scene and said, here's a comedy of this procedure, the rhythm of the cops talking. And I just really, really like that scene. Sarah, what do you think the theme is?
You know what, Joseph? No gift is selfless. And all gifts really are self-serving in the end. I think that's what the theme is.
You've been killing it this season with with the themes.
I didn't have one because I think you got it. And I read your theme just now just to catch everybody up on that joke.
It is. And then that is the answer. No gift is selfless. All gifts are self-serving.
Yes.
And not just in this episode. I really, truly believe that's what the show is saying.
Okay.
You know, you're going to feel good no matter what you do. It'll always be about you when all is said and done.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
A few examples, if you'll allow me. Obviously, Tony's sapphire ring is a way to get rid of his guilt. AJ giving his mother the Matrix. Meadow giving her the spa gift certificate, going with her and putting it on. And the editing of that is very interesting because she says, I put it on your credit card. The camera's on Tony. So you think she's talking to Tony, but I don't think she is. I actually think she's talking to Carmella.
I do, but Tony's like, what the fuck? It's all my credit card.
Right. Chris giving Aid the club. It's a place to conduct business. So that's really for him. Jackie gives Carmella a present, but it's really only to impress Meadow. Mm-hmm. And it's worth noting he gets laid right after.
Wait, does he?
Well, right after that. Yeah, that's. They go out. Isn't that when? Yeah. And then she says that's when she gives him the paper and he says, how can I ever thank you? And she shows him the condom.
Oh, I missed that condom.
Yeah, thing. That's the time. Carm's mother giving her husband a beeper so that you don't get lost in the market. I thought that was funny. Meadow wanting to go to AJ's game, which quite frankly, I rarely ever feel bad for AJ, but it breaks my heart. The look on his face. When he knows you don't want to come see my game, you're just here for Jackie. Aww. That breaks my heart. Meadow wanting a car to, quote, come home and visit. Even the callback to Tony giving Eric Scatino's car to Meadow is a reminder that they've done this before. The school not punishing AJ.
Yeah.
Because he's apparently an amazing football player, which I think is a stretch.
He's a leader.
He's a leader.
He's a leader.
And then finally, you know, even our innocent Melfi doesn't like taking Tony's money, but when her son needs books, she's going to use that gift and she's going to make it all about herself.
Well, it's tying into also last episode. Was it last episode where, no, two episodes ago, the other therapist wouldn't take the blood money, but we said that Melfi's now a soldier in the last episode and now she's has no problem using the blood money.
Yeah. Oh, well done. I didn't pick that up. That was great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then there are so many more.
I won the theme then with that last
comment.
Yeah, because
you had that one input. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All of those are on there, and I know I missed a few.
Oh, yeah. A lot of gift giving.
Whew, I mean, it does not stop. Oh, doesn't Tony even gives...
Oh,
he
Tony
gives Gloria a gift.
The purse, the... I think it's like a Louis Vuitton... wallet or something?
A Louis Vuitton. as Tony will say in a future episode, which will, again, I don't like to spoil my favorite quotes. That will be your favorite quote. This is the real Louis Vuitton. Love that. Yeah, but there's a lot in there that I know I missed. I actually kind of got tired. I was like, I got to move on to watch, but they...
You got
they
tired?
I got tired. I was
this
like, I'm
is
trying
what-
to...
makes you happy. All right, I have a lot of symbolism.
As do I.
Okay, let's back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay. Andre Bocelli is playing again that same song.
What song? They've played this song before.
Con te partiro.
We said it's Carmela's theme, then Janice's theme. It's both their themes. Stop. How many times are they going to listen to that song?
I think this is it, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
I could be wrong. There could be another one. Well, that's what's playing when she's got Coke on her nose.
Is it? I missed that whole thing. I missed the condom and the Coke. I like completely miss those two things.
So drugs and sex, no interest to you.
Apparently, does not grab my attention. Apparently,
thank God there's no rock and roll, or you would have totally missed.
I wouldn't even like the show. Apparently, Hesh better sit down with his rock and roll.
Oh yeah, there is rock and roll in the end.
Yeah, that was his rock and roll.
An ironic symbol is that sapphires symbolize wisdom and good judgment.
Awkward.
And Carmela does not.
No.
Really, this whole season.
Or as a human.
So far, yeah. I mean, there'll be. She has more opportunities to be wise.
Sure. She has epiphanies. She has discoveries.
That's a very good way of putting it.
So after Carmela says Meadows should be at the museum in her free time, the next time we cut to Carmela, they're listening to NPR. Which I feel like the Soprano house just doesn't normally do.
So what's the symbol?
That Carmela is also trying to be more cultured alongside Meadow.
Oh, I got you. Okay, yes, I would agree. Do you listen to NPR?
I listen to one of their podcasts that I like, but otherwise, like, not really.
I don't either. Maybe I should. Should I?
We probably would like it.
Yeah, I probably would.
They have a lot of good content.
It's just never something I do.
Okay.
The movie It's a Gift is being viewed by Tony.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good one. That's a great one. That kind of solidifies the theme for me. Not that I wasn't convinced before, but that like really is good. Because we always say, look at what Tony's watching.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay, we talked about Gloria wearing fishnets last episode, and she's doing it again. She's wearing fishnets again. And I think it's because she's caught Tony, and maybe it's like all that. A little bit of a cannoli, maybe.
Yeah, I like that. Jackie taking literature of obsession. I mean, you could literally study Gloria's arc in this episode and call it literature of obsession.
I love that. You want to
also
take that
a class I want to take. Yeah.
I was just gonna I just said that.
Yeah, really. Not even teach. I want to sit in a really good professor and take that class.
Okay. I'll work on that for you. I'll find that somewhere. Tony's upset AJ fucked up. So he's being a father figure to Jackie, who doesn't have his own father. And Ralphie, you know, isn't exactly the best because he gives him a gun later in the episode.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's very much an extension of Fortunate Son.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess maybe that's a kind of an overall theme of the episode.
It's not Chris, though.
No, again, hardly. Well, the little he's in this episode, he's doing well.
Yeah.
He's actually really good in this episode for the little he's in it.
And he's, you know, when he ignores Jackie, I love that. When he, like, acts all big man. Oh, so good. So good.
Well, because, you know, in a lot of ways, it seems like he's being a bitch there, but he's actually maturing. Like, he's starting to understand, this is why Tony sometimes ignored me. Because season one, that would have been Chris in the Jackie role.
But
he's starting to, like, realize, okay, I get it. Like, even the rules. We can have a chat.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a sit down.
Right. Yeah.
How about this? The principal says, what kind of animals? Which is a callback to when Carmela calls AJ an animal after he smokes a joint at his confirmation.
Yes.
Which I thought was really cool. It also connects AJ and Gloria, who is symbolically a snake in this episode.
Which we've said Janice is symbolically a snake in the past, too.
Yes.
They're really tied together. So building on the animal thing, there's lots of leather in this episode.
Yes.
Everyone's an animal. They go to the zoo. The principal, like you said, calls them animals. Aid opens the crazy horse.
Yep.
And they're all wearing leather a lot.
They're especially the scene where Christopher gives her, and they're both wearing leather, and they're embracing so often that you can hear the sound.
Everyone's an animal.
Did you notice that, though? Like, the sound of the leather being rubbed together was really dominating the scene.
It has to be on purpose, because otherwise the director would go, oh god, get one of them out of a leather, this is weird, they look like a biker gang, right? Like, it had to have been purposeful.
Yeah. 100%.
take a sip of your beer before.
I apologize. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's good content, ladies and gentlemen. It's an audio platform. Our host is drinking beer.
It makes me want to go get one.
Go get one. I can handle this.
No,
without you. I can go.
Fuck you. You're such a jacket. All right, cheers. I'm back with my beer.
See, for our audience, that was a split second. But for me, that was 5 minutes.
Oh, it was not 5 minutes. It was 30 seconds.
It was rude is what it was. Fucking rude. Anyway.
Oh, my God. It's good, though. It was worth the 5 minutes.
When I think of classical music, okay, I often think, I wish someone wrote, I Will Follow Him to an orchestral rendition. And they did. And they played it in this episode behind Ro and Carmela, as Carmela says, which is also a good quote.
I can't.
Hang on to him, Ro. He's a real find.
What?
And she's it just got goes that.
Her judgment is poor.
Take off that sapphire ring, Carmela, because you are a moron.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really interesting. Just the idea of them following these men that they both know deep down they don't belong with. Though I don't know if Ro really knows that yet.
No, I don't think she does. So making sauce and spaghetti, showing Jackie the ropes. Sorry. Ralphie is making sauce and spaghetti. He's showing Jackie the ropes and also food and violence with these two.
Mm.
Just cooking together. Also a parallel to The Godfather.
Big one. Yeah.
Because Paulie teaches Michael, right? How to make sauce. And Clemenza.
You're thinking Paulie because that's also the moment.
In Goodfellas.
Well, Paulie Goodfellas, but that's also when Clemenza's telling him to teach sauce. how to cook sauce. That's also when Sonny comes in and says, hey, have you heard from Paulie? And Clemenza says, oh, Paulie, you ain't going to hear from him no more.
Oh, yeah, 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 that's why. We're not going to hear from him no more.
But yes, yeah, Godfather link between food and violence. Awesome. It's awesome stuff. Anything you want to tell me? That phrase is said by both Carmela and Ralphie.
Tony, is there anything you need to tell me?
About the ring?
Anything you want to tell me?
No. It's just
symbolizing the secrets that are kind of, you know,
looming
in this season.
Great.
And just quick ones. The slowness of Gloria taking off her dress in the hotel was very snake-like, shedding of her skin, you know, to show her trueness underneath. And then the idea of that connects AJ and Jackie is that they both claim they got dragged into doing something bad with AJ. And I do kind of see AJ. I mean, AJ's wrong and AJ has done something very bad, but I do kind of feel like he gives into peer pressure when it comes to going to the pool. I don't think he's the mastermind of that pool visit.
He bad place. What is it? Wrong time.
Bad place, wrong time. And Jackie is an interesting thing because I actually have a little bit of an issue with this because one, I kind of believe him. It's a bachelor party. I came, but I also want to be like, why is it bad that he's there? I mean, I understand he's underage, but he's not like Tony. You really care if he's playing blackjack? Like, I didn't understand why that's a problem.
I think he doesn't want him to get in trouble at all. And it paints how serious Tony's taking this. He's like, I want you to be a clean cut kid if you're going to date my daughter. Like, not just not in the mob, like be a good kid. And it's asking a lot from Jackie.
I guess, you know what I would have liked? A scene previous where Tony says to Menno, hey, you going out with Jackie tonight? No, he's not feeling well. Then catch him at the casino. Like you lied to Meadow. And again, it's a simple lie. Guys do it all the time. I'm not feeling well. I'm going to go out with the guys. It's something that would have just made it wrong. To me, you're just gambling in New Jersey. It's not that big of a deal.
You should have been in the writer's room.
Well, they called me. I was young. I couldn't.
Oh, you were too young. I got you.
Well, I was busy trying to graduate high school.
Okay. what does the title mean?
It's a reference to Vincent Price. I think also Mutzadel is an insult. It's kind of a low life Italian, kind of a dumb guy. He's always a Mutzadel, which a lot of these Jackie's a moron. You know, yeah. Jackie and
I
AJ.
I never heard Mutzadel as used like that.
Yeah, you know, he's a Mutzadel.
Okay, I believe you. You repeating it over and over again. Is it going to change?
Yes, all. And just the irony that he's cheating on an Edgar Allan Poe
of course.
Paper.
Yeah.
And it also refers to the cheese, which there's extra cheese on AJ's pizza. So, you know, that.
Which the tells on him.
Tells on him. Tells amazing. The tale. And again, I love the ending. That's good shit right there.
Tony hearing the banging on the roof.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful. I would like to add at the dinner scene or lunch scene, Rosalie and Carmela are introduced to burrata for the first time.
Right. How do they not know what that is?
No. So I looked it up. And the first time burrata really came to an American restaurant was in California in 1996. So it's funny. You think that burrata was earlier than it is, and it didn't come till 1996. So I looked it up. Burrata first arrived on international shores by way of Mimo Bruno, a cheesemaker in Los Angeles who opened his own factory and tried to peddle the stuff from his ancestral home to, at first, quite dubious consumers. This was in 1996.
That's fascinating.
It is.
Like, you think, like, we discovered, like, it's like a new cheese.
You're right.
That's like we discovered a cheese. We discovered penicillin. It's
like it's new. Burrata. Christian and I, it's like the first thing we get. We're like, burrata, oh, duh, we're going to get burrata for the table, like for us to split at dinner. Like that's our go-to. And they did. They were
say it's because of you that I like it.
Oh, good. See, don't say I never gave you anything. It's a gift that also helps me. That given you burrata, because when we go out to eat, then I get burrata. Blah blah blah.
We can share the dish. We don't have to get
exactly
our own.
Exactly. But then her saying, "Oh, it tastes like mozzarella." You know, it.
But it doesn't.
No.
At all.
No, it has like a similar texture.
Sure, but it's not mozzarella and string beans.
No, it's not. But it's funny that they have that discussion.
And even that, Artie's giving them free food. He really just wants to test it out. He wants to see what their reaction is. He's doing it for him.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Love it.
Nothing is a true gift in this.
I love it. Most valuable Goomba.
On the count of three?
Yeah. One, two, three. Three, Jackie.
Gloria.
Awkward.
You're wrong.
Why am I wrong?
It's Gloria.
Why is it Gloria?
Steven Spielberg in 1974 was filming a movie that took place on the ocean. And he couldn't get a mechanical shark to work. So he decided that he was going to hide the shark for the first 75 minutes of the movie. And you spend the whole movie thinking about this shark. When's he going to show up? And then when Jaws finally shows the fuck up, we are so excited. Gloria does not show up for 35, 40 minutes into this episode. And as soon as she does, everything elevates. Everything.
Hold on. You can't just give her most valuable Goomba because you like her.
I adore her. She may get most valuable Goomba for the rest of her arc.
Okay. I think it's Jackie because he is getting it on with Meadow. He's pissing Tony off. And we're starting to also dive into Jackie's arc at the same time. And maybe I care more about Jackie's arc than I care about Gloria's arc and vice versa. And maybe that's why we pick them.
It makes me question if I should have chosen someone else to be my co-host.
Wait, I chose you. I don't know what you're talking about.
Choose shit. Gloria's unbelievable.
She is. I'm not taking that away from you. I just think Jackie's going to move the plot line forward a bit more.
You know what? We'll see. We'll see as the show continues.
Okay.
So
if we
pulled this shit
or something that made us go, oh my God, that's us. Meadows poncho.
Weren't you everybody wearing that when you met my wife?
No. No. She has on an elegant poncho, like over jeans. I had on what I like to call a drug rug. And for those people out there know what I'm talking about, that's what I had on. And it was colorful and beautiful. And I remember we got home from the beach and I turned to Christian and I said, I should change because my brother brought home a new girlfriend and I look ridiculous. And he looked at me in the eyes and said, she should know who you are. And I said, okay. And I walked in the house in little jean shorts and in my drug rug. And I was like, hi, I'm Sarah. She's my sister-in-law now.
She still talks about that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous that she met me in that.
I mean, like, anytime you come up to someone new, like if for some reason you get brought up in a conversation, it's Joe's sister, Sarah, who I met wearing a drug rug.
But it's not this poncho. It's not this poncho.
Well, I don't know. That's what I thought of.
I can see why you were reminded. I can see it.
Dad used to... Well, no, because Dad's lost weight. He probably can't do it anymore. But when Dad used to sit on the chair, he used to hold food on his stomach. Like Tony held the cake. Or the remote. That was also his remote spot.
That was the remote spot. Right on your stomach. Yep.
You know, he would hold the cold drink against his head. and food on his stomach.
He's going to be as mad right now that we're saying this, and almost as mad as that time that mommy sent the Christmas card of him laying on the couch saying from our home to yours. And he didn't know. And he was so mad. He told me once that when he walked into work, they all had it as their screen stickers. Because his team loved him. They were like, Big Joe got the Christmas, they all got the Christmas card. Sorry, Daddy. Sorry for, what does Karen say? I'm sorry for pushing. What does she say? I'm sorry for bringing up you had diarrhea. And I'm sorry for saying it again now.
We moved into a Mean Girls club.
Yeah, always. Like, I could quote Mean Girls no matter what. You really didn't know where I was going. I watched your face. You had no idea where I was going.
I didn't. I thought you were talking about Karen from Goodfellas. I was like, are you talking about when Karen screams, I'm sorry. Karen!
That's probably a better, your mind probably went in a more relevant mind. Yo, that tiramisu they have looks freaking good.
I don't like tiramisu.
Or cannolis. What is wrong with you?
I don't get it. It's spongy.
It's so good.
No, it's like, it's too wet.
So do you not like Tres Leches cake?
Not really.
Okay, I love that. Not that that's tiramisu, but if you don't like wet and spongy, you definitely don't like Tres Leches.
Yeah.
Okay. Noted.
But great. I'm glad you liked it. When do they eat it? I honestly forget. When do they eat tiramisu? Isn't Tony eating?
What's on his stomach?
Is that tiramisu? I was more of the placement of the food. It could have been Doritos.
I just
saw food on his stomach. I was like, that's our father.
I think that was the tiramisu. I mean, something made me say that tiramisu looks good. So
that was it was Carmela's birthday cake, whatever it was. So
it's probably tiramisu.
Yeah, sure. I believe you.
Let's go with that.
Let's discuss AJ destroying the pool.
Oh, my God. I just don't know if I'd ever be in this. I wouldn't break into school at night and swim in the pool. Like, I wouldn't even have been there. Lady Gaga's there, though.
Oh, you wanted to beat me to it? You wanted to beat me to bringing that up?
Everybody go back and find Lady Gaga. She's one of the girls.
I mean, it's pretty clear which one. It's not like it's hard to recognize her, but yeah, I don't think it's something you realize unless someone points it out to you.
Agreed. Right. As soon as I'm like, oh, that's Lady Gaga, it looks just like her.
And by the way, it really is, listeners. We're not like saying it looks like her. Like, it really is.
That's literally her. What is her name?
I don't know. Lady Gaga.
I think she had a name before.
I'm sure she did.
It's Stephanie something, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But
what is that's her name? Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta.
Oh, I like that she changed it to Lady Gaga.
Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta.
You say you never broke into a pool.
No. What?
Have you ever gone swimming illegally?
I've gone into the ocean at night. Is that illegal or just stupid?
It's probably stupid. Well, I guess it's illegal.
Is it illegal?
But you've never broken to a neighbor's house late at night and gone swimming or anything like that?
Did you? Okay.
Yes, not into a neighbor's, but I couldn't reveal it. But yes, I have swam somewhere illegally and I could get in a lot of trouble even years later. This was back when I was, I was 24, 25 years old.
You have to tell me.
After we're done recording, I'll tell you.
Okay. Carmel is saying, and if they were all jumping off the George Washington Bridge, would you do that too? I heard our mother saying that.
Yeah.
I guess every mom says that at some point. But George Washington makes it like super Jersey. You're specifying the bridge. That's good stuff.
Can you imagine ever asking dad for something? Now, first of all, you're going to have to stretch this to your imagination because him saying no. Because I know you rarely heard that word, but if you had asked and dad somehow said no, can you imagine saying,
Oh, but you can find the money to buy mommy a diamond?
Oh, I've been thinking about a car.
I knew I was going to get hit up for something on this trip.
What, you can spend thousands on sapphires, but a hardworking student has to take the bus everywhere?
You live a block from the school.
No. I wouldn't even make that connection. Yeah, I think he would get, like, that would be the sixth time he screamed at us.
Has daddy ever said no to you?
Yes, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, he said no to the college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I ended up at the best place ever, and what's more, all my friends and my husband.
All right.
He knows best.
He does. He does. We love you, Dad. You and your cake on your stomach.
On your stomach.
I already mentioned how much I love the Jackie Tony scene, but I do want to ask you, did Dad ever have that conversation with any of your boyfriends?
So I asked Christian this question, and he said to me dead seriously, your dad doesn't really have to say much. And I was like, yeah, that's fair. It's assumed. Don't mess with her.
If someday my daughter's one of her many husbands, because I don't anticipate her only being married once.
Stop.
If any of them ever say that about me, I will consider myself having done a good job.
Yeah, of course. 1000%.
We're really loving on Dad today.
Yeah,
we'll
this
have to
is
make
like
fun
a,
of him later.
This is a daddy episode. This is a He's a motif of this podcast episode.
Here's another question of did you ever clean, I can't even say it without laughing. Did you ever clean gutters?
No, nor did I ever mow a lawn.
Never
mowed a lawn, never vacuumed a pool. Just not for me.
Okay.
I said, Christian, I saw these questions and I was like asking Christian and I said, I've never cleaned gutters. And he was so confused. I'm like, why do you think, am I on the roof cleaning our gutters? Like, what? What makes you think I ever clean gutters before?
But how about
AJ doesn't
AJ's
even
like,
know
right.
what gutters are. He doesn't even, I know what gutters are.
I don't know. I don't know.
And he panics. I don't know.
I like this. Did any of your boyfriends ever clean out the garage?
Hold on a second. One, that is weird. An outside person shouldn't be like throwing away stuff in your house. But right. Also, hold on a second. What was there to clean out in our garage?
Well, you're right.
Mommy did it every 6 months. She rearranged and cleaned everything in the garage every 6 months.
Every 6 months.
So there was nothing for, she would never want an idiot kid touching her garage.
Well, I can tell you, I never cleaned out any of my girlfriend's family's garage.
That's weird.
I mean, even my high school girlfriend, I was over that house a lot. I don't even know if I know what the garage looked like.
I'm sure you know what the garage looked
like. I don't remember. It's weird. And one other thing I always like to shout out when we're connected to a place, I don't know if it's the inside of the school. I'm going to think that was a studio. But when Carmela and Tony are arguing outside of the school after they meet with the principal and the football coach, that's Harrison High School. So that is the high school that was in the town where our mother grew up. Had she gone to public school, that's the school she would have gone
Love
to.
It. Yeah. Love it. Shout out to Harrison. Cannolis.
Yeah. There's, you know, I think episode 9 of every season tends to have a lot.
Ooh, I like that theory.
Well, 8, 9, 10, you have to now.
It's building up. Yeah, it's building up.
Building up. So I have quite a bunch as to
go. Go down your list and I may add.
Okay. Gloria's interest in Tony's gun is very ominous and juxtaposed by Jackie. In a back-to-back scene when he gets a gun from Ralphie. The fact that they're one after the other really, literally Chekhov's gun is here. So, these guns are going to be important. This is Adriana's first episode where she owns the crazy horse, and Matouche is there.
Who's Matouche?
The guy who wants to deal drugs.
No, I know. But, like, why does that matter? Is that the point of the cannoli?
Yeah, that's the cannoli.
Okay.
That he's in this particular episode where it's the first time she owns the Crazy Horse.
Okay, I don't remember why that matters.
Okay.
Cool. Keep going.
Carmela wants Meadow to be visiting the Museum of Modern Art, which they will in a later episode this season.
Cool.
A closed cannoli. We learn about Davey Scatino, Terminator 2, as our guest Tommy would have said. Davey Scatino is getting the help he needs in a mental health facility, but in Nevada. So we're a little too close to Vegas, but he's trying.
Well, maybe he was in Vegas and they were like, you need help. And they just took him up the road.
Dude, you need help. Tony's referencing Carmela's ring at the end of this episode. And then her saying, I got was it the earrings? She got the earrings.
Yes. Beautiful earrings.
Yeah. And just the fact that it's in the final scene, that's going to happen again. Where the ring is referenced in a final scene. And then, I don't know, this is a closed cannoli or maybe just a beautiful callback. But when Jackie says to Matouche in the hospital,
you should get the nurse to help you. That's what they get paid for. Maybe she'll be fine and give you a cheap thrill.
That's a callback to, like, he's low class. Like, he's being an asshole about it. But don't forget, Tony in episode 4 or 5, brings the nurse in to see Jackie.
His dad. I think it's even episode 3. I think he's dead by 4.
It's his kind of final gift that it's a prostitute.
Yeah.
Giving Jackie a thrill.
And very weirdly, very cute.
It was really nice.
I thought of that too. It's like, Jackie, no, like, this is a nice thing. You should go do this for Matouche. And all your weird sick ways that you all have.
Yeah.
All right. So Adriana walks into the club and she smells fish, then piss like a cat.
Yeah. Good call.
That's it. That's the only one I could add.
Okay.
I have some, but I they're too much. I can't say. Did I steal from you?
Like you stole from me last episode?
Yeah, you stole from me.
Yeah.
You stole from me.
I'm ready to wrap this shit up. You got anything else?
Yes, I do. Are you ready?
A few things.
I love that Aaron says, have you heard the good news again? And Jackie just calls him out. Yeah, I met you at Thanksgiving. How real are we in New Jersey?
I like that. I just want to welcome to the show again, Matouche Giamona, played by Nick Tarabay. He recurs. He's in a couple. He's interesting. He's fun. I like his accent.
Yes, and more importantly, Gaga.
Oh, of course, yes. Yes, Lady Gaga was in the show.
Not reoccurring. Sorry, spoiler alert, everybody.
She is not, but wouldn't that have been awesome if she was like a love interest for AJ?
Yeah, and then she became
Lady Gaga.
Who she is. Jackie couldn't get through the books? In reference to Edgar Allan Poe, the longest story is 15 pages long? Tops.
You're acting like Edgar Allan Poe is easy to read. There are some difficult things in Edgar Allan Poe.
Couldn't get through the books. Like Pride and Prejudice is hard to get through. Like you have to like battle, right? Like isn't, I assume that, I've never read it. It's very long.
I despise that book.
There you go. See, that passion was a good example. But you can read an Edgar Allan Poe and get the gist. Read the last page. You kind of get the twist. It's the same thing every time. It's like a crazy thing happens at the end.
Today, he would have just put it in ChatGPT and it would have been a beautiful paper.
Give me a synopsis. Oh, yeah. Paper.
No, the paper.
Made the paper. He just made the paper. You're right. He used Meadow instead.
A meta moment that I love. AJ gives Carmela the Matrix because it's, quote, right up her alley. And Joey Pants is in the Matrix. Ralphie's in the Matrix.
Oh, shit.
You know, I love that. Does he play him in that world of the Matrix? Is it the same guy?
If he sits down and watches that DVD with Carmela one night.
Is it him?
Is it him? Okay, the fictional band Miami Relatives at the Crazy Horse is a real band named Scout.
Oh.
And Hesh going eh with his hand after Aid asks him what he thinks of the music is hysterical.
I
also love how cute Hesh and Syl are, and Polly's like, I can't hear you, but they're all there and they're so supportive and they're just all so cute. That's it.
And I kind of like that that whole scene is shot where we don't understand what any of them are saying, but yet I totally understand what all of them are saying.
Yeah.
Though I wonder if it was an accident. I don't. Do you watch with captions?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you notice, though, that you got to read what Polly was saying?
Maybe that's why I understood what was going on, though.
Maybe, but I guess my point is, I wonder if originally we were going to hear it, and maybe they truly couldn't get the sound balanced enough, so they were like, fuck it, we'll just make it a thing. I'm serious, because I'm sure that's hard to do. Very few directors and sound engineers really get that right. And ironically, Coppola is one of the best ones to do that. Coppola always knew how to do loud things, like Apocalypse Now and Godfather 2, when there's loud parties and the wedding in Godfather 1. He was the master of that, of making sure I could hear what people were saying, even in a loud environment. But not everyone can do that.
Okay.
Sorry, I got really film analysis.
Yeah, you got there. So excited. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Two amazing homages to The Godfather. We already said one about Clemenza cooking, but the other one is Jackie himself literally sitting like Brando and De Niro, who played Don Corleone, and just the way he's sitting there listening to the douches with his finger on his eyebrow. Yes. Listen, I mean,
Idiot. Yeah, is that just Jackie like trying to be? That's not even like a direction of like, oh, we're gonna like mirror The Godfather. That's just Jackie being an idiot.
No, that's Jackie, who probably only watched The Godfather once, saying, I'm gonna do this. To Matouche, who probably never saw The Godfather, so he doesn't understand what he's doing.
He doesn't even understand the power play that he is trying to sedate. Tony not knowing Aida and saying Aida made me cackle aloud.
but what also, though, on top of that, is that she says it to him like it's the Elton John musical. Okay, but it's also an opera, Carmela. It's based on an opera, you uncultured swine.
Hold on a second. But that mirrors the same thing where Tony thought that Edgar Allan Poe movies were Vincent Price. Yes. It's the same thing.
I always find that funny. Her.
Oh, that's good.
Her insistence of how dumb you are. I'm like, oh, God. I am a huge fan of Johnny Maestro.
Ovs.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, baby. Oh, I love you so. 16 candles.
So when Tony sings a little bit of 16 candles at the beginning, though he gets the melody quite wrong, I just love it.
Does he?
And you're a Johnny Maestro. He does. It's a little off. It's just
that. When he sings happy birthday.
It's the I love you so. He doesn't get I love you so right.
Oh, because there's okay.
I know. I'm not.
I do love that song.
I love that song. Well, that's Jesse. Now, my father was a big fan of Johnny Maestro and the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yes.
But 16 Candles was when Johnny Maestro was with the Crests, which was before. Oh.
Interesting. I never knew that.
I would argue Johnny Maestro might be in the top five greatest voices of all time.
Not Jamie Lynn Sigler?
No. She'd be in the bottom five voices of all time.
You didn't have to clarify.
I am actually currently, it's funny, side note, I'm rewatching Entourage. That's one of the shows I go to every now and then. Mm-hmm. And I'm on now her season with Turtle, where she's dating Turtle. And it occurred to me, they never asked her to sing. They never refer to her as a singer. They never, like, Turtle never goes, Jamie, like, you know, sing for me. And I'm so grateful to the writers of Entourage who decided, fuck her. We're not going to let her
ruin
our show. I like that.
Wait, I like that a lot. You like her. To
I
be
love
clear.
Her. Yeah. She's great on Entourage. She's fantastic on Entourage. She's the reason Turtle becomes a better character on Entourage. She brings out the best of Turtle. I would even call that season the year of the Turtle. It's like he's amazing in that season, and it's all because of her.
Okay.
But anyway, Johnny Maestro is amazing. And if you don't know Johnny Maestro, you should listen to Johnny Maestro. My son is a fan of Johnny Maestro.
You're making this kid a real nerd, huh?
He is. He loves Johnny Maestro. And if you're a fan of the song You'll Never Walk Alone, which we both are, Johnny Maestro and the Brooklyn Bridge might sing the best pop version of You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yeah, they nail it. Ralphie just has a gun in his kitchen. Just in the bread. Where did it? In the junk drawer. It was just like I'm like, oh, we need a mint. Do you need a birthday candle for a cake? Just whips out a gun?
No, but I'll take it further. That's not even his house. That's Rose.
What was that?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. That's okay. A good call. That's a very good call.
Very strange.
And similar call, blooper alert, these assholes without their shoes on break the trophy case. You can't, what, you're just walking on that glass? Come on. Do better.
Do better.
That was
better.
Stupid. They should have all been bitching and moaning about how hurt their feet
their
were.
Their feet were. Like, AJ should have had a limp.
Right. Big blooper on that.
Ralphie saying, get out of here, sounds like Hugh Grant in Mickey Blue Eyes.
Oh, my God. Hey. Get out of here.
No, just forget about it.
Forget about it.
No, I mean, shut up. Please shut up.
Forget about it.
Which is not good.
No, it's not a good way to say it. That's the joke.
A lot of Sopranos people in that movie.
Yeah, we've covered it.
Whoa. God forbid we just call back to be like, remember.
Janice is the waitress. It's my favorite part that she's in it.
Paulie's a gangster. Pussy's a gangster. The head of the FBI is a gangster.
Vito is the guy at her apartment.
Yes, that's right. And Artie
is the villain.
The guy
who
gets killed.
He literally did this. Already.
And I'm keeping it. You know, I know you're going to tell me that and fuck off. Our listeners needed to hear it again. And if you've never seen Mickey Blue Eyes, go rent Mickey Blue Eyes.
Rent Mickey Blue Eyes.
Speaking
go
of
to
Artie.
Blockbuster and get you Mickey Blue Eyes.
Shut the fuck up. Speaking of Artie, him
yes.
listening to the band. Terrific.
Sorry, I was the beer sip. Hold on a second.
With his
horrifying.
Hand.
Horrifying.
With his waves of his hand up and down.
Okay.
What is wrong with
because
you?
He's like trying to be hip with his earring, remember? And like he's at yes. the band and he like loves Adriana. Wait, but here's the thing though. No one's dancing to the beat at all. So it was like they were like, hey, quick, everybody start dancing. And then they just added that to the song.
Well, and that again kind of makes me feel like the sound editing was the problem. Because clearly they did that scene without a band playing. And they needed to add it. And I think that's part of the problem. You're right, because none of them, they told them, just dance.
Looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. My God. What does "and her name is G" mean? Tony says it to Gloria?
Yeah, he's quoting the song Gloria by them. That's that you know it. It's the one that goes, Gloria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's. I think it's early
lyric?
In the song.
Okay.
I think he might spell out the whole thing. I'm not positive, but yes.
Okay, thank you.
And finally, again, stupid mafia move. Tony telling Melfi that he was at the zoo was a big mistake. Because for all he knows, Gloria said the same thing. In fact, I'm almost kind of annoyed that they didn't have that moment where both of them say, I went to the zoo and I really enjoyed myself. And then that gives Melfi the confirmation she needs. Either do it or don't. But I thought it was like a really stupid thing. For Tony's smarter than that. Don't say it.
Is Melfi ready to be confirmed in this that this is a thing yet.
I mean, is she all but? I mean, she knows that was Tony on the phone
yeah.
in the previous episode. She You're not says wrong. They're lying cocksuckers. But if she had just had that moment where they both said the zoo, then she's set. And then we get to see her dilemma. Like, what do I do? Am I supposed to bring this up? And yeah. I don't know. It was either a stupid mistake or a missed opportunity. And it annoyed me.
Either way, pissed off. Joe's definitely pissed off. Do better. All right. That's it.
I love this episode.
I do too. I had fun. Did you have fun?
I did have fun. And you know what's weird about this episode is this is an episode that is so connected to the other episodes. It's definitely not a standalone episode. Yet I feel like this is one I would just watch.
Yeah, I have to agree with
Love
that.
It. Yeah, it's Love cool. It. And it's all because of Gloria.
Okay. All right. Thanks to our listeners for analyzing the Telltale Mozzarella with us. That's all from us for now. Talk to you soon when we discuss the next episode to save us all from Satan's power with a very special guest, Mikey Krennic. This has been The Sibling Sit Down. Gloria, Gloria. And her name is G. Thanks for listening to The Sibling Sit Down. Please remember to like or follow the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode, so you never forget about it.